You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
It's gonna be a football game tonight, now.
No doubt.
It's gonna be a football game here.
Okay.
I don't be here.
All right, let's go, baby. Hey.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
And the Ohio State Buckeyes are the first national champions of the playoff era.
Ladies and gentlemen, football to football.
Your host, Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
Hello and welcome to another Football to Football. As this is our Thursday night, Friday morning, and well, pretty much Friday morning edition, where we're going to preview all the games in NFL Week 10. And we'll also talk about the game that already happened in Week 10, which is Buffalo Bills and New York Jets. It happened on a Thursday night game, and then we'll talk about some of the big games happening in college football. And we'll also get into a interesting little news topic that Randy and I sort of talked about at like 3 in the morning yesterday, when I happened to hear the thing about a New York Attorney General declaring that FanDuel and DraftKings are illegal betting websites. So we'll discuss that at the end of the show. But I am, of course, your host of this podcast, Sean Garmer, and with me are my two co-hosts, Mr. Gary Vaughn.
Hey, everybody. Just to let you know, I'm a big fan of that shiny green that the Jets are wearing. It's beautiful.
And Mr. Randy Isbell.
I wish I was colorblind.
My eyes are still adjusting from...
I'm sorry.
The Christmas game that just happened.
Hey, look. Oh. Okay, so let me give it credit. I like the helmets of the Jets because it had the shiny. I'm a big fan of emerald green. Let's just get that over with. I love emerald green. Always have. Don't know why. But so I'm okay.
You know why he married an Irish woman?
Exactly. See, there you go. But let's just be honest. The Buffalo Bills. It wasn't just Christmas. It was like they were playing in their pajamas.
Two crayons going across the world constantly.
but it's one of those things where you can definitely tell that the NFL did not think things through, because all I saw after this game, because trust me, I was looking up anything but like press conferences and stuff, because I was done with this game when it was over, was the the outrage from the. From what I learned, with the 10 million people that are red-green colorblind being completely impossible to watch this game. Like, somebody had actually filtered it out and made it look like what it would be like if you're red-green colorblind. You were screwed if you're watching this. They looked exactly the same.
Wow.
Wow.
Because that's why I usually have the dark color versus the white color. And I mean, obviously, so they really stand out, but... I mean, they stand out if you can see color, but you take away the color, and there was a mess for some people. And I also think I learned that Ryan Fitzpatrick is slightly colorblind.
Really?
And that, well,
yeah, there you go. Because that game. Explain. This is shocking, Ravel. There we go. There's the honest answer, everybody.
That has to be it. Why?
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the two interceptions he throws are not wonderful. I mean, he did throw two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and I guess he threw them in the quarter that matters. I mean, to me, the thing that stood out the most, aside from the four turnovers, which are huge, obviously the fumbles don't help either. That kickoff return fumble was stupid by Devin. I mean, just you gave them a touchdown. I mean, just you can't do that.
Listen, you're in this game, It's just what we expected this game was going to be. It's a defensive battle. Both teams are a lot of three and outs, not getting things going really. Both teams are stuffing the run. Neither quarterback is looking comfortable. And then you get the first interception by Ryan Fitzpatrick. The Bills do nothing with it, but they're right there. So they kick the field goal, and then instantly you get that fumble return. And next thing you know, you're down 9-3 because they can't kick an extra point. But it's like, you're right there. You're exactly how you want to play this game. And within 10 seconds, you're down 9-3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which in this kind of a game is huge. And then the momentum just built. They kick another field goal to end the half. They open the second half with their only like sustainable drive and get a touchdown. And then the next thing you know, the Jets are in trouble. And at this point, I get home finally. Because I will admit, I didn't get to watch a lot of the first half because I'm at work and we were pretty busy. Which I will also admit I was happy with because of the way it looked like they were playing. But listen, the second half, the Jets start getting things rolling. The offense is starting to get things going. Chris Ivory's running the ball a little bit better, minus the fumble. Ryan Fitzpatrick is starting to find a few people. And the big thing to me was the Jets defense completely figured out Buffalo. Sean, you and I talked about this on Monday where I said I was not worried about Buffalo because they were a running game and they had one wide receiver. And so I wasn't that worried about their offense. Charles Clay ends up with 5 receptions, and other than that, it was not much. Robert Woods with 19 yards, Sammy Watkins 14 yards on 3 receptions each. So their offense really did not scare me. It was the Jets being, you know, the same old Jets, making 4 turnovers, lots of mistakes, and then in the end, just some of the most boneheaded play calling you can see. And it just, as a Jets fan, completely drove me nuts because it's, when you're down the way they were, I understand going for it on fourth down. Totally get it. But why are you throwing it to Brandon Marshall 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage with no blockers?
All right, on the other fourth down, did you kick the field goal there?
On the second one when they were near the goal line?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And this is like I was sitting here at home talking to the girlfriend, like upset at my TV before this, like before third down even happened. I was like, listen, if we don't get it here, you kick the field goal here because you have all 3 timeouts. There was still like 3 minutes left on the clock.
Yeah, the 2-minute time. Warning.
So you have a 2-minute warning, all 3 timeouts, and you are completely dominating the Bills. The Bills had not had a first down since 5 minutes into the third quarter. So you get the field goal, you keep the momentum rolling your way. You get within a field goal. Another field goal wins you this game. And you keep the momentum. Instead, they go for it on fourth down. The play call there, I actually liked. It was just executed terribly. Like, the tight end got turned around, and it fell apart. The play call was perfect. But you go for it on fourth down. You don't get it. And now you still need a touchdown to win the game. And now Buffalo has life again. Because you see that sideline, and it was just an uproar, and like, oh yeah, we have it. And the next thing you know, it's LeSean McCoy running through holes that have not been there the entire second half. So for me, it was more of a momentum play to kick that field goal. It was to just keep the momentum on your side. You have Buffalo defeated on offense. They have no idea how to fix what you have been able to stop. But the moment you give them any sense of momentum back, when you absolutely need a 3 and out, it was, to me, that was game over.
Understandable on that part. I think, the Jets defense, they got to Tyrod Taylor. They sacked him 4 times. They were quick to get him when he went on those QB draws. I mean, like you said, they figured it out. They weren't letting him run around and do all the stuff that he normally did, and that's why that offense wasn't working well in the passing game, because they pretty much shut that down. And then a lot of LeSean McCoy's 112 yards came at the end right there, where you were talking about he had holes that, you know, weren't there before. I mean, and I talked about this with Gary on the Rowell, but Chris Ivory, a yard away from 100 yards,
He had it at one point. He had the 100 yards, and then on second down, he gave it back. But
I mean, you know, he's exactly. You asked me about Stack Stacy, and then he goes out. And I mean, even banged up, I think I just proved the point that I made on Monday. Chris Ivory, better than all those guys you have over there.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right there. Chris Ivory, I still don't think is 100%. I think he's slightly getting better. They did an awesome job showing a stat about his, I mean, because we're getting into these crazy stats now with the NFL and just the technology that we have. And they showed his average speed when he hits the line of scrimmage. So his burst speed, basically. And it's down 2 miles an hour from when it started this season. So, I mean, that is a worry when you are a running back like Chris Ivory, who that is your go-to move. I am running into contact, and I'm going to bowl you over because I am powerful and I'm fast. And he doesn't have that ump right now. And I had just was kind of wondering, as like, Zach Stacy's not terrible. Yes, he gets hurt. Stephen Ridley, I haven't seen at all this year. Blau Powell's good, but he's also kind of banged up. So I was just, it's like, do you sit him out a week, especially on a short week, and you rely on everyone else? They go with Ivory. He does the job. Unfortunately, Ryan Fitzpatrick just kind of has an off day. Obviously, Buffalo's defense is nothing to scoff at. And, you know, Buffalo, even though I think the Jets played the better game, especially in the second half, they make four turnovers. And if you have four more turnovers than your opponent, you're not going to win in the NFL.
Right. I mean, and you know, I think you just said that. The next game they play is against the Texans. I think that's a game you can sit Chris Ivory if you want to.
You can't anymore. When you're 5-4 and you're now in this ridiculousness, the AFC wild card is starting to get to you now that Buffalo's right in it, and you have Oakland and Pittsburgh. And
yeah, but Buffalo's playing the Patriots on Monday. I mean, or next Monday.
Yeah, but that's the game that you have to get back now. It's like, okay, hope that New England beats Buffalo, but you have to beat Houston so that you get that game back.
Oh, we're still talking about Houston here. I mean, your defense shuts down DeAndre Hopkins. Who the hell is going to do anything on Houston?
You forget Brian Hoyer still plays for him.
Yeah.
I'm just joking. I had to show a little bit of love.
You also do have to remember this. This is the Jets. They always have that one game. That one game is still there.
Fitzpatrick's playing his old team. He should be fired up. Yeah.
Which he's having surgery this Friday, so that'll be. And he should play Week 11. He wants to play Week 11, but that's another interesting thing, you know.
Well, if you have Geno out there, I think you do have to have Ivory. Cause, you know.
Yeah, I will say Ryan Fitzpatrick definitely played like he was going to have surgery tomorrow because he didn't care. All right, there was a lot of times he ran out of the pocket and still was like, "I'm not sliding. I don't care. My thumb is already broken. I'm getting surgery on it tomorrow. Let's break it some more. Why not? Who cares?
Let's just get more surgery."
Yeah.
Other stuff. Yeah, Buffalo wins. Just their defense made those stops that the Jets, you know, on the bad play calls and the interceptions and fumbles and all that stuff. You know, credit to Bakari Rambo, man. Three turnovers caused by him alone. Just that's a big deal right there. But,
can you imagine the picture with Rambo?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that'll be in the New York papers.
I mean, you left me speechless on that one. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, by the way, that great team captain of Buffalo doesn't even record a tackle. What a stupid.
Yeah.
Buffalo still won the game.
Just stupid. Rex Ryan and his stupid captain BS just drives me nuts.
Yeah.
He's still great at the press conferences, and his ex-girlfriend thing was pretty funny, but knock it off. Okay, go ahead.
So, NFL Week 10 preview. Let's get started with that. We do have four teams on bye: the Atlanta Falcons, the Indianapolis Colts, the San Diego Chargers, and the San Francisco 49ers. I'm sure Philip Rivers and Andrew Luck, well, Andrew Luck's out anyway, but I'm sure Philip Rivers is hoping and glad that he has the bye week already. So, let's get into these games that are happening at 1 o'clock. Let's start with the Detroit Lions going into Green Bay. And, you know, this should be pretty rank and file here, Randy, but is there something wrong with Green Bay?
You know, it's one of those things that at first you don't think like it is, and I still really don't think there's much. But, I mean, if all of a sudden this game is close going into the fourth quarter, then it starts kind of creeping in your mind. It's like, I think Aaron Rodgers is starting to feel a lot like, Russell Wilson right now. Just the offensive line just seems off. He seems to be running a lot more than he usually needs to. I think he is starting to feel like he needs to put it on his shoulders, and that's worrisome. You know, it's usually Aaron Rodgers sits back and then picks people apart. This is not what you need. You don't need Aaron Rodgers running around all loosey-goosey looking like he's Johnny Manziel. I mean, so I think a lot of it's Eddie Lacy's just does not look like the Eddie Lacy of old. Losing Jordy Nelson is starting to take effect here as the season is kind of going on, and teams are able to kind of figure out defensively how to stop James Jones and Randall Cobb. And so, yeah, there might be something a little wrong, but I will give credit to Aaron Rodgers, and I think they'll get it situated.
Gary, you know, Randy just talked a lot about Eddie Lacy there. Obviously, his replacement is James Starks, and he's actually been named the lead running back ahead of Eddie Lacy because Eddie Lacy's been having those issues. Where would you rank James Starks this week in fantasy?
I think Detroit's defense is, right there in the middle. They're not great, but they have been able to, you know, do a little thing here and there when it comes to stopping the run. But, you know, for me, still, this team is primarily a passing team. They're not going to lean on the run. I think you're going to look at him as being a low-end number two, possibly a flex. Not that he won't have a decent day, but I just don't imagine them getting him in the end zone very often. I would lean towards, you know, playing him if you need a running back, but don't start him if you got guys that you definitely think will be better than him.
Fair enough. Well, is everybody picking Green Bay here?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Everybody's got Green Bay. So Jacksonville travels to Baltimore in a battle of two and six teams. Blake Bortles, and this is something I've been saying, I think, like almost every week that we've talked about the Jaguars, so Blake Bortles is a little bit behind the eight ball here. Blake Bortles says they are just a small step away. Yeah, the small step is you not throwing interceptions, Blake Bortles. That's about it. Other than the defense needs to, you know, stop people. But I mean, I don't know. You guys have other thoughts on that? Because Blake Bortles throws way too many interceptions.
No, I'm totally with you on the interception thing. But, you know, that'll come with age and getting more experience. And, again, not trying to be that guy that is just trying to do too much. He's going to learn. He has a ton of talent around him. And, you know, he doesn't just have to force it. But yes, I think their one step away is on the defensive side, and you know, them giving up almost 30 points a game is just not going to get it done. So, you know, obviously the season is done. They're going to have a decent draft pick and you know, go out and get a defensive guy and keep building. But Jacksonville's going to be scary.
Gary, are they one step away?
You know, I don't. It's just not right now. I mean, they're doing good for what they have at the moment. I mean, they have had to deal with injuries. They've had some other issues that, I mean, I think have affected their play. Are they going to be that far ahead in the near future? I think so. I mean, I like a lot of the players on this team. I just don't know if they're one step away. Maybe give me a few steps away, and I'll be on board with you.
Well, hell, all you need is one step away to win this division.
Yeah, but really. I don't even know if they can do it. I mean, I don't know. I just don't see enough experience on this team to really vilify that for me yet.
All right. Well, with Steve Smith done, how viable is Kamar Aiken as a fantasy option?
I think it's a great fantasy option. I think he could be a wide receiver too. I think that, you know, he's shown in the past that he can pick up the load. Now, is he better than Steve Smith? No. Are you going to expect the same numbers from him as you did Steve Smith? No, not at all. But he's definitely an option. If you need a receiver, and he's a great play, I would play him wide receiver 2, even 3.
All right. Well, who do you have winning this game? I took the upset on the road with Jacksonville. I need to probably stop doing that, but...
Well, you can continue doing it, because I'm going with you. Give me Jacksonville as well.
I'm good at messing things up. I'm going to go ahead and go Baltimore.
It's just Jacksonville has the weapons.
They do.
Much more, weapons that you would actually depend on for something, whereas the Ravens have you stop Forsett. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know, you know, we know Crockett, Gilmore, and Aiken are dependable. We've seen it in games. But I feel like if you stop Forsett and you put it all on him, on Flacco, you have a better chance of success.
Yeah, I'll just say this. I saw him hanging a game with Arizona. I mean, they can do it against Arizona. I think they can play a hard game against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Fair enough. Well, speaking of a hard game, Dallas Cowboys, anything they do is a hard game at this point. This is a valid question that has been asked a bunch of times. And, I don't blame anyone for asking the question, even though I think we all know the answer is no, because there's other things to consider that's not just about on the field stuff. But Gary, if Dallas loses this week, do you just let Romo rest until next season?
I would assume so, but they're not going to do that. I would. If I'm them, I go ahead and let Castle play a little bit more, give Romo a full bill of health, let him just get completely ready for next season. Yeah, I think you should play him later on in this year, but... Against teams like Miami, teams like especially the Carolina Panthers, where there are chances that he could get re-injured, I say no. I mean, you put Castle out there, let him try his luck at seeing what he can do. I really think if they lose this week, it's time to start getting ready for next year, start playing some of these young players like Butler and a few other guys that need clean looks. Christine Michaels, haven't seen a lot of him. Why not play him a lot more? But it's not there yet. We'll have to see.
I will disagree with you in that I think this division is going to go down to the wire. The Giants have a really terrible schedule the rest of the way. The Eagles have a nicer schedule, but they're the Eagles. You never know what the hell's going to happen with Chip Kelly's teams. You can say that they're going to do this and do that, but until they actually get out on the field, and we're still talking about Sam Bradford here. I mean, just because he looked great against a Cowboys defense that was literally the walking wounded by the time that game ended. Losing two of your most important linebackers, and Rolando McClain basically being MIA for most of that game, and whatever else. I mean, I don't know. He was playing somebody else's defense at that point when that game ended.
My point though is I have a hard time, and you're talking about Romo. I have a hard time believing Romo's going to run that table.
Oh, I don't think he's running the table. I think it's just one of these where these teams are going to... I seriously think 8-8 or 7-9 could win the division, honestly.
Wow.
Yeah, that. I mean, I like your optimism, but listen, they lose this game, they go to 2-7. He's going to have to run the table and then get lots of help. And with the schedule that the Cowboys have remaining, it's just almost not possible. I mean, it's just one of those sad things because, I mean, as somebody who's not a Dallas Cowboys fan, this is like the first year where I have now been put in my place. And yes, Tony Romo is a great quarterback. I think it's been proven because he goes out, wins his first two games. He goes out and you can't buy a win now in Dallas. So obviously he is way more important to that team than we give him credit for.
And all the losses were so close that you can see where if Tony Romo was there.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, do I think that you could pull off some of these big wins down the road? Absolutely, but it's too much of a hole. I think especially if Dallas loses this week and Philadelphia wins and Giants win. I thought they were on bye, but that's next week. I think if both of those teams win, then at that point, especially, I mean, if the Giants pull off the crazy upset against the Patriots, but... yeah, at that point, you got to think the season's over. But I'm with you, Sean. I don't think they sit him. I think it's more of a with how crazy this team is off the field. And you have Dez Bryant yelling at reporters over whatever.
Oh,
I missed most of that. We won't talk about the other situation because it's been drilled to death. And, I mean, it's just normal craziness. You almost just want to put Tony Romo out there, so maybe you can pull off a couple more wins, just so maybe it settles things down in the off season. It's more of a calming force, but it's just one of those basketball mentalities where it's like, okay, let's just rest Tony Romo, make sure he's 100% for next year. We're gonna have all these guys come back. We'll have a really good draft pick. We'll just reset ourselves and go after it next year, because this year, unfortunately, due to injuries, has just turned into a loss.
And
they won't do it, though, because unlike basketball, where it doesn't matter if you don't sell that arena or whatever, Jerry Jones is going to put the best team on the field because he wants to make sure that Jerry World is close to selling out or whatever.
Oh, but the thing is, Jerry World always sells out because all the other team's fans show up.
I know, but it's just, I just don't see it happen.
Yeah, no, but, like I said, I get you. I'm right there with you. But the smart thing is they would, but I see why they wouldn't.
And I know we got to move on, but I do want to throw one thing. Correct me if I'm wrong, Randy, but is Prescott, is this his senior year? Is he leaving? I'm just trying to figure out if Prescott's going to be available in the draft this year. I cannot remember at all.
Well, they won't take him first.
He is a senior.
Okay, so yeah, so I think if Romo gets into a situation where he starts the game and they are 2-7, I mean, why not? I mean, hey, Prescott could be his underlust study.
Well, you know, that's why I'm saying, like, you know, honestly, you already know what the team's been like without Romo. If Romo gets out there again and gets hurt, okay, well, you know what the football gods have for you this year.
Yeah, but you don't want a young quarterback coming and playing because Romo's career was ended because second clavicle issue. You want you want to make sure that, you know, you do have him around to teach a guy and be on the field.
I know, but he'll be, I just don't see that happening. But I mean, we can discuss this all day, but we gotta discuss about Jameis Winston here, who's the quarterback on the other side, on the team that the Cowboys defense has to actually try to stop. Over under 15 fantasy points for Jameis Winston.
I'm taking the over. And it's not because, I mean, I'm just sold they're winning the game or anything. I'm just sold on the fact that his legs are going to get to moving. Dallas definitely struggled with the run last week. It's not going to help with all their injuries at linebacker. And I really feel like that, you know, they're going to allow him to escape a few times, and he's going to get not only rushing yards, he's going to get some decent passing yards. I could see this guy scoring 2 rushing touchdowns just as much as I could see him scoring 2 passing touchdowns.
Fair enough. Randy, any?
Yeah, I'm right there with Gary. I think it's over. Another thing to kind of keep in mind is Austin Seferian Jenkins looks like he's finally going to come back, and early on in this season, it looked like he was the favorite target for Jameis Winston. So it looks like he's going to get his dump-off man returning, which is good for a rookie quarterback.
All right. Well, what's the prediction here?
I'm going Dallas just because I want to go be a homer this week. I'm just tired of them losing. I'm hoping one of these times I pick them, they'll win.
Well, if you can't beat Tampa Bay, you don't deserve to go to the playoffs. I'm sorry.
Take that, Atlanta.
No, I'm not saying it that way. I'm saying you haven't beat anybody else.
You said it.
You haven't beat anybody else that you could have beat. Now you get to that position where you're playing somebody who is not, well, you weren't playing an elite quarterback last week either, but you're playing a better than Sam Bradford quarterback, but not, you know, Tom Brady quarterback. This defense better do something, all I'm going to say. That, yeah, I better see some sacks by Greg Hardy. That's just, whatever. Cowboys are win, but, you know, part of me just feels like I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I got to go Tampa Bay here. Like Gary brought up, they go out and beat Atlanta. They kept it pretty close against the Giants before the turnover at the end made it look worse. Austin's very and Jenkins coming back. I think the offense rolls a little bit more. And so, yeah, give me Tampa Bay at home.
I mean, that's kind of been Tampa Bay all year, though. They've kept a lot of these games close.
Yep.
Wouldn't mean anything new for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dallas or Tampa Bay keeps it close, and Dallas likes to lose close games. So.
Yep, that's right.
So, yeah, after this, we move on to the Carolina Panthers, who are sitting at 8-0, taking on Marcus Mariota and the Tennessee Titans in Tennessee. Well, you know, this is one of these times. I think this could be a trap game for the Panthers. Based on how Mariota looked. Titans defense can sack some people. But, you know, the question is, and we've seen Cam Newton have a pretty decent year. We've seen Mariota when he's playing. He's pretty good. Who has the better career?
Well, I professed my love for Cam Newton on the Monday podcast. I'm all in with him. For what he's doing with a little bit that he has around him, I think that the sky's the limit for him. I love Mariota. I like what he's doing. Obviously, the same thing there. He doesn't have a lot of talent around him, but give me Cam Newton.
Yeah, I'm right there with Randy on this one. You know, it's not just because we've seen a lot more from Cam. I mean, yeah, that kind of gives us an unfair advantage with that. But I will say this: it just the ability that Cam Newton has to not only, you know, get the ball in tight spots when he can. But just the ability to run, to be the guy that's hard to bring down. Just he brings all the things you want in a quarterback. If he just continues to get better, this guy is going to be one of the top elite quarterbacks in this league by towards the end of his career. Right now he's pretty darn good. He's up there. Especially this season. But getting better scares me. So.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think this is a little unfair because, you know, as much as we don't want to say Cam Newton's already done some pretty damn good things, I think, you know, Mariota could wind up having some kind of statistical, like as far as passing yards, something like that, where he looks better than Cam. But I think Cam just being such a better, guy at being able to know a situation and knowing what he has to do, whether he's going to run or pass or whatever, that team winds up accomplishing more than the Titans do. That being said, just having a guy like Dorial Green-Beckham on your team already outdoes almost any other guy that, other than Greg Olsen, that, you know, the Panthers have. So, you know, and then he already has a pretty decent tight end in Delanie Walker, too. So that's something to think about as far as, you know, the difference in weapons there between the two. But, you know, talking about DGB there, Gary, who has the better game? DGB or Ted Ginn?
This is a, you know, kind of a tough question. I think DGB has been doing a great job. I like what he's, you know, showed I just looking at the defense he's going to be playing this weekend, the secondary that has actually done really, really well, taking care of things. I'm not sold that they're going to be able to get the ball to him as much as they want to. If I'm going to take the bet here, I would put my money on Ted Ginn.
Fair enough. So who's winning?
You know, I'm kind of with you about the trap game situation here. Obviously, you go in, come from playing Seattle, Philadelphia, Indianapolis, and Green Bay. Now you're going into Tennessee. Maybe you let up a little bit. But I just think they're the better team. They're showing a far more overall, just all-around game. So give me Carolina.
You know, before last week, I wasn't completely on the bandwagon of Carolina. I mean, not that they weren't good. I thought they were a good team. But I just thought, they'll struggle here or there. They'll start to fall apart sometime. We're just getting a mirage. But, man, they had a swagger last week. They had attitude. I don't think they're going to go into this game at all sleeping. I think they're going to be ready to crush. So watch out. Carolina's going to win this one.
Well, there's the blue crush. There's the orange crush. Now there's the blue crush.
Mm-hmm.
And the Panthers. So, yeah, I'm going to pick the Panthers, too. I want to say I want to go with the Titans, but I can't do it at the end of the day. So moving on to two pretty interesting teams here. The Chicago Bears, after they won that game on Monday night, and then going into St. Louis against the Rams. St. Louis Rams made a big deal in signing Wes Welker at the end of the week last week. Does he help the St. Louis offense at all?
Mentally, I think he does. I think he gives them a lot of leadership. I think he's going to be able to sit down with Nick Foles and kind of go, okay, listen, I have been with Tom Brady. I have been with Peyton Manning. This is how they do things. This is maybe something you can work on, or different practice techniques that you can do to make yourself a better quarterback, or just be able to see the field better. As far as on the field, I just don't see it. I'm a big Wes Welker fan. My biggest concern is that he goes out and gets another concussion. But definitely, as far as the mindset of the offense, I love it for St. Louis.
Gary, what do you think? Anything on the Wes Welker?
I think Wes Welker, he's played, for quite a while, had a great career. I think, he could probably help these other receivers. He could probably come in and do some good. But, I'm not sold that Nick Foles is just that guy to help him get, I don't think that Nick Foles is going to get him started as much as we think he is. I think he's a good receiver, but I think that's the problem, is Nick Foles is not Wes Welker.
Right. Yeah, Nick Foles could really be the problem here. It doesn't matter who you put in, because he doesn't have... Brian Quick is not too bad. And some of the other guys that... Kenny Britt's what he is at this point, but...
I really feel like if you had those receivers on another team... let's even put him on Tennessee. I think Mariota gets in the ball, and I just
put him on their opponents in Chicago.
Oh yeah, this is a way better Chicago team with those guys.
Well, speaking of, they Chicago does have one of the great receivers in the league, Alshon Jeffrey. Does he top 100 receiving yards again this week against that damn good Rams defense?
I just don't see it, and it's not just because of Jeffrey. I think Jeffrey's going to do fine in this game. I'm going to predict 60 to 80 yards at the most. I feel like it's more, once again, on the quarterback. I think really and honestly, this Rams team is going to try to come after Cutler, because they know he makes mistakes if he's under duress sometimes. And I think they're going to take advantage of that. So I don't think he's going to have the opportunity to get over 100 yards.
Yeah, I will say also, watch out. He did miss practice on Thursday, tweaking his groin Wednesday. So definitely keep an eye on the injury report. But I respectfully disagree. I just think he's the guy for Chicago. Since he's come back from injury, he's just been targeted left and right. He has 31 targets in the last two games. I think that's just the guy he goes to. So it's almost just 100 yards and then whatever else you can do with Alshon Jeffrey when he's healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's the guy. I just worry about Cutler being on his back more than.
Yeah, you know, I hear you.
Yeah,
he does like to throw Martellus too.
Yeah, which you know I am, and I have both these guys in the league, and I'm starting both of them. I'm not telling anybody to bench them. Sean just asked 100 yards. I'm not sold 100 yards will be it. Now, if you ask me two touchdowns, I may go with that.
Sorry, that's why the question's asked. Well, New Orleans has had their fair share of fun games right, against...
do your predictions first.
Oh, that's right, sorry.
You always skip that part.
He gets excited.
Yeah.
I'm going Rams.
Yeah, me too.
I think I went the Rams, but geez, don't be surprised if Chicago pulls another upset. All right, so now I can get on with the next game.
I'll allow
it. New Orleans has had their fun with NFC East teams already this year. They're playing the last of them in the Washington Redskins. In Maryland, did the Saints season end last week?
So, I
kind of asked this question already.
We didn't get Gary, so.
Did their season end? Is that what you're asking?
Yep.
Yes. Sorry.
You know, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to count out Drew Brees.
I said the same thing, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, I know it sounds bad, and it sounds like see, the reason I hesitate is because I talked about how awful they would be this year, and now I feel like an idiot because I mean they are doing a lot better than I ever expected. So, do I want to count them out? Not really. Now, in my mental state. Let's be honest. My head says, oh, yeah, you got to count them out. But no, my heart says, no, you can't. So I'm going no.
Well, I think it's also, you know, you look at Atlanta, they keep losing.
Yeah.
To teams they shouldn't lose to. And they got more teams they might lose to because they're better than them still to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just putting that out there. That's a spot that gets opened up. I mean, Minnesota would take that spot if they keep winning. But
oh, yeah, that's true.
But, you know, we also have a fantasy question here for you. Which Washington wide receiver do you start? DeSean Jackson or Pierre Garçon?
I'm a huge Pierre Garçon guy. I love Pierre Garçon for a long time, but you know what? The quarterback that loved him is not playing, RG3. I think that DeSean Jackson, you know, coming back, you know, he's been injured, but I think he'll be a nice surprise. This New Orleans defense is not good. Don't get it wrong that they've been winning games. It's still not a good defense. They still give up big plays. The secondary is very, very questionable. So do I imagine a big play happening? I sure do. And I think DeSean Jackson can be the guy to do it. So if I'm a betting man, I'd go with DeSean Jackson.
I would say DeSean Jackson, too, just because of that. With the Saints D, you can exploit them over the top there. But will DeSean Jackson, you know, show up? That's what I think. Prediction time, guys. Who's winning this game?
I don't know about you, Randy, but I think New Orleans is going to complete the NFC East here. They're going to win.
Nah. Well, they did lose to Philadelphia.
Did they lose to Philadelphia? Yeah. I thought they. Oh, excuse me.
I made that same mistake, too.
I really did think they'd beat Philadelphia. I guess in my heart they did.
Yeah. Well, in your heart and your brain, it won't be just them. I'm taking Washington in this semi-upset at home.
Why do I not have my... I'll come back to that. But I don't want to be like,
I do want to say this, though. I think, you know, if you're you need a quarterback, I need a quarterback this league, Kirk Cousins, look for him to have a great day. Drew Brees is going to have a pretty decent day. I think he'll have an okay day. But I think Kirk Cousins could have a really, really good day.
He sure could. That's going to be interesting. I think I wound up taking Washington in this one too, but I'll double check to make sure while we talk about the next game, which is critical for us. And of course, I live here in Miami, so I kind of want to see Miami win, just because I don't want to see Dan Campbell just go down in flames or anything either. But, yeah, Miami taking on the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia, though. That's a rough one, certainly. Are the early season woes for the Eagles behind them? We kind of already talked a little bit about this, but do you think we're going to see the Chip Kelly Eagles that we've been hoping to see all year now, or was it just playing that Cowboys defense?
No, I think you're going to see a lot more of it. I think they're really starting to figure out how to get the running game worked in there. I think they've realized that DeMarco Murray is a lot better when in the shotgun formation for whatever reason. He's just able to get going a bit more. Ryan Matthews, they've found the spots for him to work, and Darren Sproles obviously is just great. So they're doing a great job of getting the running backs involved, I think it's starting to let Sam Bradford get a little bit more comfortable, and it's just as the season goes on, I think you're just going to see this team be more and more dangerous.
All right. Gary, what do you think?
I think that this team has, kind of built on, thinking that they're going to run the ball more this year. They felt like that they were going to be able to really just take out people by this combination of running backs, looking at the way they're doing it now, they've kind of figured it out a little bit here. I kind of agree with Randy on that. Are they going to be, I don't know. I just feel like they're doing better with it. I think they'll take care of business a little bit here in the near future.
I also agree that I think the Eagles are doing much better. I think you're going to see them kind of be more like what we expected them to be. I do still think they're going to lose some games, so they're not going to go undefeated the rest of the way or anything like that. But you're going to see them play much better than they, that started with the Cowboy game and then going forward. So I would say that you'd hope Chip Kelly figures it out because talk about somebody that could be on a surprise hot seat if they don't make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But, sorry, I'm having to try to charge my headset at the same time we're doing this. Who has the better game, Lamar Miller or DeMarco Murray?
I'm starting both these guys, or I'm starting at least Lamar Miller. I know a lot of people are still starting DeMarco Murray, and I think both are good options this week. I think both defenses do give up the run. I think that Miami has improved a little bit and gotten back on key with their defense a tad bit when it comes to the run defense. I think they're going to be okay. But, I'm going to have to go to DeMarco Murray here, and this is the reason why. I really feel like Tannehill is going to have to pass more than Bradford is. I think really, really, honestly, they liked what they saw last week against Dallas with Bradford handing the ball off to Matthews and DeMarco Murray, and they figured out that they can do a lot of things in the running game that they were not successful. So I think the Eagles are going to be focused on the run more than the Dolphins. So I'm going to DeMarco Murray.
What do you think, Randy?
Yeah, give me DeMarco Murray too. I think Miami has already said that they kind of want to get, I'm going to blank it, what, how do you say that guy's last name?
Jay.
Is they want to get him more involved, so that'll take a little bit away from Lamar Miller. And like I said, just the Eagles are finding a better way to get the running game going, so I'll take DeMarco Murray here too.
So we got a prediction that we have to make.
Yeah, give me the Eagles.
Why not? I'm just going to enjoy watching the Dolphins, and hopefully they can win. So I'll go Dolphins here.
I got the Eagles too.
I'm just hoping Sue gets loose.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping for that too, obviously, but I just for some reason in Philadelphia it's part of me, just it's hard. So Let's move on to another A division matchup. One that's interesting because, you know, even though Big Ben wants to play, he's doing everything he can to play. Everything's ahead of schedule, all this stuff. It is still the Browns. And they have been pretty porous on defense. And we saw what D'Angelo Williams did last week. Do you let Big Ben start? Or do you go ahead and have Landry Jones have his second full start of the season?
You know, I'd said that earlier about how close the AFC wildcard was getting, and the Steelers are right there in it. But no, I don't let Big Ben start this at all. You have your bye week coming up right after this, so give him those two extra weeks to get better. I think they rushed him back a little bit, though this really had nothing to do with the other injury other than maybe he couldn't escape as quickly being as banged up as he was. So give him those two extra weeks. Go ahead and go with Landry Jones. It is Cleveland. Rely on the running game. Rely on Antonio Brown, and you'll be just fine. But no, I mean, as much as Big Ben, you know, the competitor that he is, wants to be out there, I would not let him see the field.
Yeah, if this is a different opponent, you know, a very, very important game or a game where you really felt like Landry Jones couldn't help you win it, yeah, you may try, but no. This is the Cleveland Browns. As scrappy as they are, I still think you got a great shot of beating them, even with Landry Jones.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you on the same token there that you don't need him to win this game. If you need just let Landry Jones playing go on here. So, how far do you knock Antonio Brown down this week if Landry Jones starts? We know he kind of favors Martavis Bryant more than Mr. Brown.
He's definitely not knocked down out of your starting lineup for sure. You, no matter what, this guy, if he's healthy, you play him. Antonio Brown is one of the top tier receivers in fantasy football. But if I was going to rank him, I mean, if Landry Jones is playing, I mean, he may be, you know, in the high teens somewhere, just because Landry Jones, just when he's played and, you know, the situations that they've been in, he really hasn't focused on Brown. It's more, you know, Bryant. So,
well, it's also because the defense tends to start doubling Brown because they want to make it as hard for Landry Jones as possibly can.
Well, and you know, Landry Jones isn't Big Ben, so even when they are doing that exact thing, Landry Jones isn't going to be able to make the play that Big Ben would. So let's be honest about that. So that's part of the reason why we're seeing that. So, yeah, I agree. I think high teens would be the ranking if I was going to rank them.
All right. Well, wow. Okay. I want to talk about that later. Anyway, apparently our W2M got removed from YouTube for some reason.
Huh.
So let's see. Minnesota Vikings.
You're not taking the Steelers?
I'm sorry. I'm just, it's freaking almost 6 in the morning here.
I'm going Steelers too. I think
me too.
Steelers. This is a very interesting game here with the Vikings and the Oakland Raiders. This could really be like a really nice game to watch as far as let's see what Peterson does. Let's see if Derek Carr has another one of his big games. But which game, you know, who's this game bigger for? The Vikings or the Raiders?
I think it's actually slightly bigger for Oakland. They're just in that bigger cluster. To me, I think if Minnesota ends up losing this game, you know, they're still in position to make the playoffs. I mean, Oakland is sitting there at 4-4, looking up at a few teams. It's also kind of a confidence thing for them at home as they're trying to get a little bit on the roll. So I think a win for Oakland would be really, really big as far as in Minnesota. It'd be nice, but I think they could survive a loss.
All right. Gary?
You know, I'm with Randy on this. You know, Minnesota's still up there. They're still, you know, in the heat of the battle. The Raiders have a little bit more of a hill to climb here. So losing will just keep them down. I think they got to win that. So.
I think, yeah, the Vikings can afford to maybe lose a game or something. I think the Raiders are more in the chance that they need to win this one. Stephon Diggs or Amari Cooper?
Okay. Oh, and you know, this is a tough one because I think both these guys are very, very productive. I think Stephon Diggs could have a really good game this week. I think he can make things happen. But for some reason, I think Cooper could definitely do big things. And I think that, you know, being with Carr against a good defense, it could affect him. But you know what? I'm going to slightly choose Amari Cooper here. It'll probably burn me for saying that, but I think I just, for some reason, I like Cooper this week.
All right. Well, let's make a prediction.
Give me the home team. Give me the Raiders.
Oh, this is tough. I like what the Raiders are doing. They're trying to, you know, really get things together. But I think I'm going Minnesota.
Who did I wind up picking for this? I think I'm going Minnesota as well. Why can't I think of it? I'm going Minnesota. So let's move on to the later games here. Kansas City Chiefs going into Mile High and taking on the Denver Broncos. Does the Denver running game come back after a very putrid play against the Indianapolis Colts? Randy?
Slight. I mean, obviously, I don't think they'll be as bad as they were last week, but I don't think they come back that strong. This is a big divisional matchup against, you know, a very big rival who's coming off a bye week. Luckily, it's at home. So I think the running game is going to be a little difficult. I think moving the ball is going to be difficult. I think it's a low-scoring defensive game. So I think, obviously, it improves from how horrendous they were. What, they had like 20 yards rushing or something like that last week. But I don't think they top 100.
Okay. Gary?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with Randy on that, too. You know, both defenses are going to be, you know, playing the run really tough. I think it's going to be difficult for either team to run the ball. So, you know, the passing game is going to have to be where it's at. And, you know, I don't even know if that's going to be as successful as you may think.
All right. Who scores more fantasy points, Alex Smith or Peyton Manning?
You know, Alex Smith is going to have to throw the ball a lot. I just alluded to it. I mean, the running game probably won't be there for him, and I think the same for Peyton Manning. But I just think that Peyton Manning is going to have way more weapons. I think he's going to have plenty of places to get the ball to. So I'm going to go Peyton Manning.
All right. Randy?
No, give me Alex Smith here. I think they throw the ball a little bit more, and you know they'll probably be down a little bit in this game. So as far as fantasy-wise, give me Alex Smith.
Okay. Interesting. So who are we picking here?
As much as I would love to take Kansas City off the bye week, which is like Andy Reid's sweet spot, I just can't take them without Jamal Charles against Denver, so give me Denver.
Yeah, I got Denver too. I think they're going to be too much.
I think Denver wants to let people know they're still somebody to reckon with. They'll come in here and win this game. One is probably the biggest game, possibly maybe that, you know, it's got to be for the neutrals. This is the biggest game of the week. The New England Patriots coming into MetLife Stadium and taking on the New York Giants. Now, we know the history between the Giants and the Patriots. That being said, is this the best chance of the Patriots suffering a loss this season?
I think up to this point, probably. Because we've seen like some that we might think possible. You know, the Colts and the Jets both kept it close, but they weren't right there. And here you are going back into MetLife Stadium, and you're facing Eli Manning, who is... you know, stopped one undefeated streak in the Super Bowl and had one crazy game earlier in that season against them, and they just seem to kind of have their number. But it just seems like, on top of that, that this is perfect ammo for Tom Brady and the Patriots to go out and score 90 points in this game, because, you know, they're just on such a crazy run and a mission that not only do they want to beat every team, but then they go up against the Giants, who have cost them two Super Bowls, and all of a sudden, Rob Gronkowski has 9 touchdowns or some ridiculous thing like that. So, I mean, this is the best chance for them to lose, but this is also one of those games that could be over in the second quarter.
Yeah. You know, this would be a game you could all say, hey, you know, we've seen what happened in the Super Bowls. We know it's, you know, there. The Giants just can do it. They, you know, have probably lots of confidence, especially since they have had the success. But, you know, I'm not really buying it right now. It could happen, yes, but I'm not buying it.
You know, I think I agree with Randy that up to this point, yes. I think overall, though, you still got division games that are always going to be harder. So I wouldn't say overall. But I would say, yes, that's the best chance. The fantasy question is over under 1.5 touchdowns for Odell Beckham Jr.
You know, surprisingly enough, I'll take the under. I think a touchdown is not out of reach for sure. But just this New England defense is much improved. So, yeah, I'll take the under.
Randy, any thoughts on?
Yeah, I mean, touchdowns are so crazy to begin with, but I don't see him getting two. I'm sure Bill Belichick has plans to double team him the entire game.
Yeah, and, you know, and honestly, let's be honest. So Beckham's only had a few games that have just been amazing. Otherwise, he's kind of been out of the picture.
Yeah, agreed. Well, I mean, yeah, he did kind of make the catch that kind of started leading them onto that drive that they had that really put the game away against Tampa Bay, where he had to bend down low and get it. So
yeah, he does a great catches. I'm just, you know, touchdown wise, he's just not been there.
Yeah, it taken out the Saints game. Yeah. So yeah, well, who are we? This is the down to crunch time. Who are we picking?
Patriots. Yeah, I got Patriots too. I
think they're going to be on a, you know, they're on that vengeance tour.
Mm-hmm.
Giants are that. What, the Giants have a 3 in a row against them. You don't think they want to get that win?
I just love the fact that the last two times the Patriots have had winning streaks of 10 or more, it's the Giants that have stopped it. It just I want to so bad. No, give me the Patriots. I'm with you. As like I said, this could be just one of those games where Tom Brady goes completely ridiculous and they're up by 20 in the second quarter. So as much as I will be rooting against my prediction, give me New England.
All right. Well, there you go. So we picked that game. Now we got to move on to the two night games, Sunday Night Football, a big divisional matchup. Seattle Seahawks coming off their bye, going against the Arizona Cardinals in Seattle. First of two meetings this year. Which team is going to wind up having the better second half? And this is when Arizona starts playing some of the rough teams on their schedule. They got the Bengals next week on Sunday night, too.
I think Seattle's going to have the better second half. I think it's not going to be by enough to win this division. I do think they split the head-to-head, and you know, they're able to close the gap a little bit. Seattle probably still will end up with that last wild card spot. But I think it's going to be close. Both teams are great. Both teams coming off the bye. So, I mean, this, you cannot have set up this game any better for one hell of a Sunday night game. But I think Seattle has a slightly better second half.
Ooh. You know, this is tough because both defenses are so good. You know what? I mean, I hate to agree, but the schedule for Arizona just looks a lot tougher. I'm going Seattle, even though I wish I could go with Arizona.
I'm going to say Seattle. They're going to start making a run here. I think they know that, you know, they had issues with this team the way it is right now. They're going to lose more pieces if they lose or they don't get to the playoffs or whatever. So.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, both teams coming off a bye. Seattle had more injury issues. You know, you got to think Marshawn Lynch is now closer to 100%. Maybe they have figured out how to use Jimmy Graham better in the bye week. Well, you just think Arizona is just kind of fine-tuning. So I think Seattle is going to improve more than Arizona, which is dangerous for the league for sure.
All right, well, Gary, does any running back rush for over 100 yards?
You know, my first initial thought is no. But you know what? Why not? I'm going to go with it. I'll have fun with it. I'll say Marshawn Lynch gets over 100 yards.
All right. Well, we got to make a pick here.
Yeah, give me that home team in this one. Give me Seattle.
Yeah, you know, if it wasn't in Seattle, I would definitely be going Arizona. But, you know, it's been honest. It's been true. The crowd definitely does give something to the SCL Seahawks. So, yeah, I'll go Seattle, too.
I'll go Seattle as well. All right, Monday Night Football. Houston, take it on the Seattle. I'm not thinking right now. Cincinnati Bengals. Well, I mean, this is a... something that we've also, I think, talked about, but we didn't get Gary's total thoughts on. And how long will this run last for the Cincinnati Bengals, Gary?
Oh, man, it's a really good question because the Bengals have overcome a lot of things that I wasn't sold that they could overcome, and they've taken care of business pretty well. So, I mean, they've got some games coming up here in the near future that I'm kind of questioning, you know, will they be able to overcome and, you know, just do well. But, I mean, I don't... Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I think they could take it for maybe a couple more games, but it would not shock me. And within next two games, for some reason, they have a stumbling block.
Well, they do play the Cardinals next week on Sunday Night Football. They got the Rams, Browns, Steelers, 49ers... And then they got the Broncos way down there after Christmas, and then they got the Ravens at the end of the season.
You know what? You say Arizona. I think they could beat Arizona. I'm going to go St. Louis. I think that'll be the upset.
It's at home against St. Louis.
Yeah, I still don't care. I think I'll give them the upset.
All right. Fair enough. Okay. Over under 10 fantasy points for Jeremy Hill.
I think Jeremy Hill will have a pretty good week. I'll go over.
Well, you need him to perform. He hasn't been doing it.
No, he has done crap. But I don't know. I think sometimes these guys, they have these breakout games that they're not supposed to have, and I think this could be it.
All right. Well, who do you have winning? Everybody taking Cincinnati?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah, Cincinnati for sure.
Okay. Well, that does it for our NFL Week 10 preview for this week. Let's see what college football has in store for us.
College football has a couple pretty big games, some with a playoff implications, even though, oh, those playoff standings. I just don't understand. I just
let's
don't.
Let's talk about that for a little bit here.
Why is Notre Dame fourth? I don't get it. Just don't get it.
Don't you love politics?
When lost Notre Dame better than Baylor, better than Iowa? I mean, yes, I know Baylor and Iowa, not the sexiest of teams. But really?
Who has the money?
And then anyway, you have Oklahoma State. I mean, yeah, they're up to eighth now, but I don't know what else you want from that team. I mean, they're just going out beating everybody. They destroyed TCU. The good thing with this, and like it's one of those things where like I'm sitting there really confused by, but last year they did a good job of everything kind of comes into place, especially once we hit, you know, the conference championship games and all of that. So it's going to work itself out. I have faith that maybe one team will get hosed or whatever, but just a one-loss Notre Dame over some of these undefeated teams hurts. I just don't get it. I mean, Alabama, I get. They lost really early in the season, and they've looked completely dominant since. So I'm more inclined to be okay with that, but I don't know how you guys feel about it, but...
Yeah, I mean, Alabama's ahead of Ohio State. I don't understand how Notre Dame is fourth either.
I mean, I guess I kind of get it when you look at it. I mean, they 12th strength of schedule. So, I mean, they are playing tough teams. Well, you have Iowa at 62, Baylor at 96. Those will change. Baylor has some really tough games coming up, including this week. But it's... I don't know.
Yeah, I've had a lot of beefs with it myself, but I've kind of understand, you know, even though this is a committee, it's no longer, you know, just the BCS, you know, the computer and all that. Yeah, it's just, I feel like they kind of look at schedules and they kind of politic it a little bit. I think they say, well, you know, Notre Dame, more money school, bigger money. Yeah, let's go Notre Dame. Why not? Let's put him up there.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound sexier to have Alabama and Ohio State play again and have Notre Dame in the playoffs than it would be to have Iowa and Baylor play in one of the...
Exactly.
I mean, I get it. And again, it's going to work itself out. Baylor has a great chance this week to really get themselves into that four. So let's just get into that. Let's get some of these picks going. Let's start with Georgia at Auburn. Both teams, you know... We thought we're going to have better years, especially Georgia. It's been really disappointing, but they both get big wins last week, especially Auburn. I have Auburn here, but it's the SEC, and it's completely confusing to me, so I have it as a one.
Yeah. I have that as my six. I think Georgia comes in and takes this one.
I haven't ranked them, but I got Georgia.
All right, another game, Utah State at Air Force. Utah State's actually where my sister went to school, so I have a small allegiance there, but Air Force does have an 11-game home winning streak on the line here. I think they continue that. Give me Air Force. I have them as a 7.
I got Air Force, too.
Yeah, me too. I got Air Force.
Miami.
My nine.
Sorry. Yeah. Miami at number 23, North Carolina. Here's another team right here in North Carolina that could really shake things up. I think they're in a collision course with Clemson for that ACC championship game, and they're red hot. You know, they lose that opening game against South Carolina because of the two interceptions in the end zone. And since then, they have just continued to get better and better. They put up 66 points against Duke last week. I think they may do almost the same here against Miami, except for one other game. I have the most confidence here. I have it as a 9.
Yeah, I have that as my 9 as well, actually. Or my 10, actually. Or why am I looking? I'm looking at the wrong thing. I have it as my 8.
Yeah, I got Carolina. You know, Florida is one of those teams. They're kind of a trap team, but I got to go for Carolina.
Yeah, number 22, Temple, who I believe is 8-1 this season, at South Florida, possible trap game for them. But, you know, Temple, their only loss was to Notre Dame. They only lost by 4. So do you think they are able to avoid the trap game on the road?
I think they can take care of business here. Like you said, they kind of had some adversity. They did lose that big game, but I think that they can take care of business. I think they will.
Sean?
I think that... I have Tampa winning. I'm sorry, I couldn't see it on my... I have it as my 7.
Yeah, I have Temple as well. I have it as my 6. Big Pac-12 matchup. Oregon, who's been disappointing this year, has a chance to play spoiler at number 7, Stanford. To me, this is the big game of running backs. I know we talk about a lot of the quarterback play a lot in the Pac-12, but both running backs playing extremely well. Royce Freeman for Oregon, Christian McCaffrey for Stanford, both over 1,200 yards this season each. I like Stanford at home. They're just playing a lot better football, and they have the better defense. I have that as my number 8.
Yeah, I go Stanford as well. I like what they're doing this year, and they've definitely been a lot better than I expected.
I have Stanford as well. I have it as my number 4.
How about Minnesota Golden Gophers at that number 4 Iowa, even though they're not number 4 in the playoff rankings. I see Iowa coming out just trying to... Oh, I guess they're number 5. I have it wrong on my thing. Excuse me. Number 5. I see Iowa coming out trying to slam the door on Minnesota, trying to prove a point. And on top of that, Minnesota has lost 17 straight games against top 15 opponents. And in fact, this is their third straight game this season where they're playing a top 15 opponent. So the schedule has not been nice to them. On top of that, Iowa has only allowed 16 points in the first quarter this entire season, while Minnesota has only scored 13 points in the first quarter this season. Both are top 5 best and worst in their respective things. Give me Iowa big. It's my 10.
Ooh.
That's my 10 too.
Yeah, I think you guys are right on cue. I think Iowa is the team to win.
All right, another big Pac-12 matchup, Washington State at number 19, UCLA. WSU loves that underdog role, which drives me nuts in my hometown, which, you know, they're starting to get a bandwagon again. They're 5-0 as the underdog, according to Vegas, this season. A lot of that because of Luke Falk, who has thrown for 3,700 yards, 33 touchdowns, and only 7 interceptions. But to me, they're only one-dimensional, and they're just not able to beat those elite teams. UCLA, not quite elite, but better than Washington State. Give me UCLA as a 5.
Yeah,
UCLA is my 6.
Yeah, I like UCLA here, too. They've done some decent things this year. They've had a little adversity, too, themselves. But I've seen them overcome a lot, and so I think they'll do it here, too.
Yeah. All right, our big 3 matchups here of ranked teams. Number 21, Memphis, going to Houston for number 24, the Cougars, who are still undefeated. And this is just going to be first 1-40. Both teams average just over 525 yards offense, and they both average 44 points per game. Just super even matchup. So give me the home team, Houston, and just a 3, because who knows?
I would have my 1, and I got Houston.
This is a game that's close to my heart this weekend, only because my uncle really, really likes this team. I've followed this team for a long time with him, going back to some of the quarterbacks me and Sean used to talk about. So, yes, I will go with Houston, too.
Yeah, Gary and his Case Keenum fetish.
Yes, Case Keenum, the man.
All right, how about number 2, Alabama, off their huge win last week, going to number 17, Mississippi State. The only 2 losses by Mississippi State this year, both coming off ranked teams. And to me, I mean, I know, Gary, you love yourself some Zach Prescott, but you got to think Nick Saban will come up with a game plan. I mean, he completely shuts down Leonard Fournette. So you got to think, you know, Mr. Mastermind is going to have a game plan for your boy. What do you think?
I agree with you completely. I'm going to pick Alabama with a big middle finger in the air. Because I do not want this to happen, but I can't pick against it. It's obvious.
So this is your New England, New York Giants game?
Yeah, in a way, honestly, yes.
I'm picking Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama too. Yeah, it's my four, just one of those, just in case crazy SEC magic happens. But to me, the big game this week, number 12, Oklahoma at number 6, Baylor, another team that is out to try to prove themselves. And this is that classic offense-defense matchup to me. Baylor averaging 57.4 points per game, which is ridiculous. There's, 9,000 college basketball schools anymore, and I don't think 70% of them average 57.4 points per game, and we have a football team averaging that score. It's ridiculous. And they're averaging 665 yards on offense. They play Oklahoma, who's only giving up 18.1 yards per game, or 18.1 points per game, excuse me, and just over 300 yards a game on defense. So, Sean, offense or defense?
I'm going, give me defense. Give me the away team here, Oklahoma, for the upset at my number 2.
Another game I don't want to pick.
Mentioned, screw the Bears. TCU already lost. I want them to lose too.
Why?
Because
reasons.
Satan has overcome you. I want to choose Baylor. I'll choose Baylor.
Yeah, I'm going to take Baylor, but it's just a 2. I mean, I usually go defense here, but 57 points a game. That's just ridiculous.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow, I didn't know 600-yard average. That's crazy.
All right, and that is your slate of college football on Saturday.
It looks good, and I'll say this: it better be better than last week. I was so depressed last week. I was excited about this season, and honestly, Randy really got me interested in watching a lot more college football this year. I dug in. Me and him have been going back and forth on Saturdays at times, talking about these games. Last week, I was so depressed; I didn't even finish half of them. And my Longhorns won big, and I still didn't give a care.
Yeah, I mean, you struggled enough where I finally was able to get back ahead of you.
Yeah, it's just terrible. You know, LSU, LSU was the one that broke my heart. I didn't care about my pick'ems. The LSU losing just destroyed my life.
Oh, Lord, Gary.
Alabama's not that good. They're not. They'll get beat. I hate it.
What if they don't, Gary?
Well, then Deion Sanders will be my president.
Oh, Lord. Okay. I mean, that wouldn't be that bad, actually. But,
my personal president. I didn't say the United States. That's
okay. I Arkansas gave me a heart attack again, so I don't know how I've lived through these last 2 weeks. They just keep doing it to me. Hopefully this week, if they're even playing this week, they gotta have an off day, off week sometime. Don't do that, please. Just don't do that. So let's move on to, I guess, talking about this.
By the way, Arkansas is at LSU this week. So.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. LSU is going to be.
The battle for the golden, whatever it was, golden boot, or I think it is.
That's one of the things I really miss about college football video games going away is going after all of the crazy trophies. I love that they put most of those in the game, and just your ability to move around and try to fight for all of these things was kind of cool. That's what I like about college football. It's like every game has a different trophy you can win.
True.
It's awesome.
So let's talk about this. I mean, me and you kind of had a laugh about it, Randy. But the New York Attorney General has decided that FanDuel and DraftKings are illegal in the state of New York. I'm sure other states will follow. What do you think this means for daily fantasy?
I mean, you cannot have fun in America. I mean, I haven't been able to play any daily fantasy football this year. Just a lot of it is financial stuff. I refuse to ever gamble when I can't afford it. I mean, but that's the problem. I have a brain on my head. A lot of people don't, and that's what we have to cater to, is the people that might end up having a problem and do it too much and whatever. The thing that drives me the most nuts is obviously this person in New York has no clue what they're talking about, saying that, well, it has a slight part of chance to it, so it's gambling, so it's illegal. Hello, New York, you have the stock market.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's gambling.
Well, fantasy football, period, is a game of chance.
Yeah, and the fact that they say daily fantasy is not the same as fantasy football drives me absolutely nuts. It also drives me absolutely nuts when
how is it any different? Except mm-hmm. it's an auction league, basically, and they have auction leagues.
Well, because here's the thing, because it's not an auction league, it's a salary cap league, which is something that has been around for years. You could do it on ESPN for free for years. Somebody just took that formula and made it a daily thing.
Exactly. Thing.
And it's I remember.
But in the 90s, it was in the papers. Before fantasy football was around, you could legitimately send that in the paper and do that and go against other people.
But it's like, I mean, we've talked about it before, but that whole thing about the DraftKings guy that won money on FanDuel and how it was like this big deal and he had inside information. I still don't understand what kind of inside information he could have got, because it's the price points are set like a week or two in advance. And even if you know them 3 or 4 weeks in advance, it's not going to help you. And two, I mean, obviously if you got breakdowns of this team does really well against the run or this and that, all you have to do is look it up on the internet. We all have the ability to look up crazy stats. I mean, that's what this day and age is.
NFL.com has those next-gen stats right there for you if you want to get
them. So I don't understand where his special information is from. It's still all what the players do on the field and all that, and that's just the thrill of it. It gives you an extra thing to look at the thing. But listen, I saw this coming. FanDuel and DraftKings basically found a loophole when the government shut down online poker. They found a loophole, and their problem was this season they got cocky with it, and now you see it everywhere. I mean, they even sponsored us. I mean, they sponsored everything. So you throw it in somebody's face long enough, they're going to go, yeah, you're not going to happen. This is exactly what happened with online poker, where it was like every other commercial was poker or Bodog or anything like that. So now it's the exact same thing happened. It got it too high. Now the government's going to completely shut it down, and here we go.
Yeah. This all boils down to that Attorney General of New York, he's mad that they didn't offer him enough money to be quiet. I'm kidding.
But the sad thing is, you're kidding, but it could be true. I mean, that's the way it is. But I mean, just find a way to tax it. Find a way to tax online poker. It just drives me nuts that I am not allowed to do the things that I used to be able to do because the government is like, well, we're not making any money off of it. Find a way to make money off of it and let me do my thing.
Yeah, I mean, do that. You know, there's a lot of things out there that you could talk about that politically and gambling. You know, I think it has.
I particularly don't play FanDuel or DraftKings for that reason, because I never have money to just be able to gamble away. But I mean, I feel bad for the people that do, and they want to use it for that because they legitimately win, and they win money, and it's with something that they legitimately know something about.
Yeah.
Instead of having to pick against the spread or whatever, which a lot of people, you know, I still don't really totally understand that all that much. And, you know, or whatever, even if you pick it straight up, like, you don't have to deal with a bookie and, oh my God, this guy's going to come shoot me or whatever, you know, you just go do your thing with FanDuel and they take the money out of your account or they give you money, whichever one, and then you're done. You know, it's not a huge process. It's just,
yeah.
You know, whatever. I mean, I agree with you, Randy. I think it is that. I think they made it so huge. The deal with ESPN, the deal with all these other companies, whether it was FanDuel, whether it was DraftKings, like Fox had it all over their thing on Sundays. I mean, if you're showing it every, like you said, every other freaking commercials, FanDuel, DraftKings, whatever, you're absolutely gonna get, somebody's gonna start investigating it. This is how it is.
Yep.
I mean, speaking of, we do our Ravel. I mean, that's why I'm like hoping that Ravel never gets too big for their britches either, because though that'll get shut down by somebody. So, speaking of that, I will be there with Brandon doing the, what is that for? The Giants and Patriots game. Of course, he's a Giants fan, so that should be interesting. See how he takes whatever happens with that team, and then when we do the Sunday night game, the Cardinals and Seahawks. So, yeah, there's that. Of course, this podcast, you can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podbean, Spreaker, wherever there are podcasts, you can find this one. You can go subscribe if this is your first time listening. Hit subscribe, because that helps us more than anything else you can do with the podcast. And then you can also, you know, if you feel like it, you're on iTunes or you're on Stitcher or whatever, hit that review button, rank the stars, and then write some words there, whether it's negative or positive, whichever you decide to do. And then, you can go visit WTF Network Facebook page and like that. You can go visit us on YouTube as well, WTF Network. And you can find Gary and I's other podcast, the Rest of the Max podcast we just got done talking about, doing that New Japan Power Struggle and the Wrestling Observer Awards, talking about those and a few other things that have been going on. And then, of course, I did the co-op multi on Monday after all the crap we had to go through, talking about BlizzCon and other things. And Randy just had a new backlog busting project podcast on Tuesday. I told people about it.
Yeah, if you check out this latest episode, you get to see Wes and I realize how different of gamers we are, and finally being okay with it, even though I had to hold myself back when he said Limbo was not a good game. But okay. I did. It was difficult. I mean, but I held back, unlike what he did when I said Earthbound was bad. But we had a fun discussion, and it was a pretty fun podcast. And we talk about Limbo, we talk about Luigi's Mansion, and we talk about Donkey Kong Country. So if you like listening to two nerds talk about older video games and how they rate today, definitely check that out at backlogbusting.com. And if you like to watch someone completely suck at Mario Maker, definitely check out our YouTube channel at The Backlog Busting Project. Where right now Wes is continuing to completely suck at that game, and I get a laugh at him. And next Monday's episode, I haven't seen the edited version of it, but it's phenomenal. His reaction to a level, let's just say it broke Wes. That's all I'm going to say.
Awesome. All right, well, until... if you're not going to check us out on the Ravel stuff, until Monday night, Tuesday morning, when we will be reviewing and recapping all of NFL Week 10. See you later, everybody.